Today, as we come to our message, I'm going to begin a series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And when we begin today, you know, there are a lot of people who say, well, you know, there are different genres of Christianity. There are those that are liturgical in their church worship, and they really emphasize the Father. And then there are those who are mid-range, and they emphasize Jesus. And then there are those that are way out there and emphasize the Holy Spirit. I got news for you, folks. All of the Trinity is ours. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I know that there are a lot of Baptists that are so afraid they're going to get out on a limb, they never get up the tree, you know. But I want you to hear me and hear me well. When we look at what God says in His Word, He can be trusted as we understand the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to think with me about that, because God had made a promise in the Old Testament. It's mentioned there in Jeremiah 31, where He said, there'll come a day where I will dwell in my people. Now, that promise was about the day that when the Holy Spirit would come and we would become the temples of the Holy Spirit. We're told now that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit as Christians. He doesn't dwell in everybody, but He does dwell in every Christian. And so when we think about the idea of this, God had made that promise in Jeremiah. He had made that promise in Leviticus. God was wanting that day to come, and when Jesus was just prior to His crucifixion, He said, it'll be more advantageous to you for me to go away so the Helper can come. Why? Because Jesus would be in one place at one time. But folks, that's not the way the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is in Lake Center Baptist Church today, but He's also in Malawi, Africa. He's also in Central America, where my brothers and sisters are worshiping right now. He's also in Russia. He's also in China. He cannot be limited. So when we think about the idea of the advantageous nature of the Holy Spirit coming in after Jesus had ascended, folks, we've enjoyed that all of our lives. And yet many of us don't really dig deep enough to understand why. And so through this series, I hope to talk to you today about meeting the Holy Spirit and why He was coming. And I want to talk about how to actively be filled with the Spirit, what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be sealed in the Spirit, all of those kinds of things that the Bible clearly teaches. And I'm going to revert to my pastor-teacher gift and really be in more of a teaching mode as we move through this series, because we need to understand some things. And if we are not taking God at His Word, we're missing out on some of the great riches of our faith. And so as we think about this today, we find that in the beginning, even in creation, the Holy Spirit was there. Okay? Moving over the face of the waters. He was there. He was in creation. Jesus was in creation. It tells us in John, there was nothing created without Him, and there is nothing that exists without His creative hand. We see that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God is working, and we are privileged to live in a time not like the Old Testament saints. They had times where they experienced the Holy Spirit coming upon them, but He would leave them because the time had not yet come for God to dwell in His people. He was leading them. He would speak to them. He would work with them, but He was not in them. And so today, as we look at this, I want us to see the great advantage we have in Christ Jesus. You see, in the day of the Garden of Eden, you'll find that the Spirit of God was there as they walked with God, and Adam and Eve knew God by His Spirit. God is Spirit. But then we saw the patriarchs. God was reaching out to men through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then there was God in a place, the tabernacle in the wilderness, where the Spirit of God showed up in presence with the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. Folks, the Holy Spirit was there in the tabernacle, but that was in a place. He spoke through the prophets, and God spoke through them. And the Holy Spirit showed up in the person of Jesus as a man. But I want you to also find that after Christ ascended and at Pentecost, the entrance of the Holy Spirit enters the scene. And when Pentecost came, Jesus, that had been present with us, now was unrestricted. For by His Spirit now He could flow. He could work in every person who calls upon the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is not an experience. Okay? A lot of people think, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, I get all hyped up and I get to feeling those holy goosebumps up and down my spine and that kind of thing. And now I know I've got the Holy Spirit. Wrong. Okay? The Holy Spirit is not an experience. If He was, then we'd only meet Him in spiritual high times. The Holy Spirit, however, is a person. He is not an it. Lord, send it to work with us. Do you talk about your children that way? Send it in there to get a piece of bread. Send it to the grocery store. Send it to... Now, there was a cousin it in the Adam family, but that was the only one I know of. But when we think about the idea of the Holy Spirit, He is not an it. Jesus refers to Him when He, the Holy Spirit, has come. He will do this. He will do that. By the way, He is not a ghost. That's a 1611 King James word that meant spirit. Okay? And so when we talk about the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, we're not talking about somebody going boo and trying to scare you. We're talking about the Spirit of God in presence in you. The Spirit of God also is one who has a mind. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, it talks about who has known the mind of God that we may instruct Him, but we have the mind of Christ. Folks, we have the mind of God's Holy Spirit. He also has a will. That same passage, over in 1 Corinthians 12:11, it talks about how that He distributes gifts severally as He wills. So He has a will. By the way, He has emotions. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So, mind, will, and emotions. You know what that is? That's us. That's the triune nature of people. Folks, God in His Spirit has the same makeup as us. Why is that strange to us? We're created in the image of God. And so if we understand that, we also need to understand that when it comes to the idea of of the Holy Spirit working, you can't grieve someone who's not a person, okay? And you can't grieve someone who's not alive. The Bible tells us the Spirit of God is alive and powerful and able to work in so many ways. By the way, He is deity. He's at the same level as God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. What do we say when we baptize someone? Well, why do we baptize them in this way? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus said to do that. It was what we are to recognize as the Godhead. But when we think about this, we see in the apostolic benediction where it talks about the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Folks, the Bible is replete with different times where over and over and over and over again, we are introduced to the Holy Spirit and we're going, didn't catch on to that. So what I want us to get is the fact that this is not abnormal. It's something that God wants to work in us. And when we think about the Spirit of God living within us, Jesus tells us what His purpose and place are today. So turn with me now to John 16, verses 7 and following. John 16, I like to hear those angels' wings moving. That's your Bible, leaves of your Bible, all right? It says, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe or do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father. And you see me no longer. And he says, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have more things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of mine, and he will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine, and he will disclose it to you. Wow. So what's he do? Well, he guides us into all truth, okay? Now, when we sense the Spirit of God guiding us, he will never guide us into error. If you end up there, that wasn't the Spirit of God took you there, okay? He will never guide us into chaos. He will never guide us into sin. But he will guide us into all truth. Secondly, he will not speak of himself. You know, there are a whole lot of people, and this is where I do have issue with people who are what I call charismaniacs. You know, not charismatics, but charismaniacs. I mean, they just go, wah! You know, and they think everything that they declare is of God. And then they say some of the stupidest things on earth. And I think, what in the world are you naming Jesus and his Holy Spirit and tying that to your words? Or some of the actions. And folks, there are things going on in the name of the Holy Spirit, like supposedly being slain in the Spirit and all of that. That's nonsense. Okay? That's nonsense. The Bible never speaks of that. But they say, well, you know, we understood by the Spirit these things. He's not giving you something contrary to his written word. And so he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but he will show you what Jesus says. I tell you, if you really want to know the Word of God and you want to hear God speak to you through his Word, ask the Spirit to guide you. He's there to do that. He wants to do that. He wants to teach you. I've had people tell me before, well, I need somebody to teach me all the time. Well, it's good to have some teachers here and there. Thank God for them. But let me tell you, teachers, the Bible says do not be many teachers because you'll receive the greater judgment. But I'm going to tell you, even if no one was there to teach you, the Spirit of God is. The Spirit of God is always there to teach you his word. So you look into God's Word, ask him to teach you, and then suddenly you'll begin to see things maybe you hadn't seen before. But then I'll tell you, he will show us things to come, okay? He'll show us those things that are coming. Do you know in the Bible there's such a thing as prophecy? And folks, when we come to those prophetic passages, the Spirit of God can illuminate those and say, this is what I meant. And you can see it happening around you. He will show us the glory of Jesus. He will glorify Jesus and not himself. Now, folks, I see this great humility in the Godhead. God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus said, it's better that I go away, that the Helper can come. The Holy Spirit says, let me glorify Jesus and the Father. Don't you see it? That God is at work through his Spirit, and he shows us the deep things of God through Christ. There's also another word that is related to the person of the Holy Spirit, and it's the word comforter. Are there ever times where you really need comfort? If you haven't had it yet, you will have. Because all of us have times where we need comfort. And man can't give it to you to the degree that God's Holy Spirit can. He is the Comforter. Now, as we look through this, he says, here's what he does. He comes toward the world to reprove the world of sin. You know what the sin is that he's reproving the world of? It's not cussing. It's not adultery. It's not drinking. It's none of those things. Folks, it's unbelief. The greatest sin in the world is unbelief. Because that will send a person to an eternity in hell. And what we need to understand is that when he begins to speak to a person about their unbelief, he is drawing them to begin a belief in Christ. And toward the world, he reproves them of righteousness. He shows them, here's the right thing to do. Okay? You know, a good parent not only rebukes their children when they're acting up, but they say, that's not the way I want you to act. Here's what I want. Okay. And they spell out the right thing to do. That's righteousness. Okay? The right thing to do. And then the Holy Spirit also speaks of judgment to come. Can I tell you? He'll speak to things in your life, even as a child of God, that are not right. And when he brings conviction of sin in your life, it's not because he hates you, it's because he loves you. Folks, I can tell you that it's the correction of God's Spirit that makes me know I am a child of God. That doesn't happen to someone who's not his children. You know, growing up in my parents' home, they were good disciplinary parents, and they helped me to understand, here's the boundary. I'd step over it sometimes. I'd hear that old belt coming out of the belt loops around the dad, and it would be time to pay the piper. And let me just tell you, that never happened to the neighbor kids. Dad never lined them up. He never said, here's what you're going to do in my house. Now, he might run them off in the house, but he never said, this is what you're going to do in my house. But you know what he did for me? He said, you're my child, and you're not going to be like that. Amen. Folks, I want you to understand, judgment does come. Now, there's eternal judgment, but there is also conviction of sin brought about by the Spirit of God. What about for the child of God? Well, look at verse 15 and following. It says, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes mine and he will disclose it to you. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, what is this thing he is telling us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while you will see me because I go to the Father. You see, they were questioning what this was about. So Jesus, saying this to them, he said, what is it that you say a little while? Says, we do not know what he's talking about. And Jesus knew that they wished to question him. And he said to them, are you deliberating about this that I said a little while and you will not see me anymore? And again, a little while you will see me. He says, truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Now, he's helping them to understand there's going to be a time of great sorrow. And it's not going to be very far away. I mean, he's getting them ready for the fact that he's about to go to the cross. And they're going to be broken and torn apart by what happens to their Lord. And then 3 days later, everything changes. And then 50 days later, the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. And when that happens, every one of the children of God, every child of God, receives God's Holy Spirit. Whew, what a blessing. Now, think about the idea of what God is saying to us when it comes to meeting the Holy Spirit. It's like it's like discovering a great treasure trove of wealth right under you. Years ago, there was a fellow who owned just a craggy, rocky area. I think it was in Colorado, by the name of Comstock. Now, Mr. Comstock was quite poor, but he got to digging around in some of them rocks, and pretty soon he struck some valuable ore, and they began to dig it out and cash it in, and dig it out and cash it in, and dig it out and cash it in, until finally he was wealthy beyond measure, and he'd lived on it all the time. Folks, I hope to say to you over the next weeks, as we study about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, dig in, find the treasure, and live in the riches of God. Because in this time where we're talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, we, the children of God, need to discover what's already ours in Christ Jesus. So today, as we come to the time of the close of this message, I want to say that if you are here today and you've never ever started on the journey, this could be your day where you could find your own mind. You could begin to find out, this is what God has for me as a child of God. All you must do is repent of your sin of unbelief, receive Christ, and find that He's not only died for your sin, but He rose again so that you can have eternal life. I'll be here at the front this morning. If anyone would like to come and pray and receive Christ, I'd be happy to share with you how to do that. If there are others today who have other things to pray for and you'd like someone to pray with you, I'll be happy to pray with you this morning. But this is the time where God wants to do a work in you. I've got the privilege today of sharing these things with you. But let me just tell you, when it comes to understanding these things, that's what is your responsibility. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to hear your word, to find out more about the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of God, for living in us and for setting us free. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to someone's heart today about the need of a personal relationship with Christ. Make them hungry for the things of God. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Stand together with me as we sing.